Hey, Colin.
Yeah, Cadence.
Do you like media and entertainment that's badass?
Der.
Do you like media and entertainment that's bitchin'?
Yeah.
And how about a little bonkers?
Hills, yeah, throw that in there.
Then I think you might like this thing called the Baywatch Rewatch.
Oh, God. Are you trying to promote the podcast I'm actively doing with you right now?
A little bit. Is it working?
Cool intro. All right. Well,
let's get started.
Let's get into it, guys. Okay, so we were originally going to give you guys two special treats. We were going to give you Baywatch Hawaiian Wedding.
Right.
And we were going to do Baywatch Nights.
Right. It's like Baywatch Nights in like one episode. Yeah, like summarized. Kind of
summarize it. Then we started watching Baywatch Nights and holy shit.
We went from having a one night stand to a lifelong marriage.
We did. It is so unbelievably good that I can't even exclaim it.
We seriously... I mean, there were moments of pure genius, and we were just like, we can't. We would be doing this a disservice to try to summarize it in one measly episode.
And it turned out that it was only one season, Baywatch Nights. But yeah, it's so good that we were like, you know what? We're going to circle back to that some point, and that's going to be a whole season.
Don't you worry.
It is too good not to do it. So we found this other movie, Baywatch, and this is, we're pretty sure, the last of all the Baywatches.
I mean, we don't know, man. They might, something might come out of the woodwork.
But it is a 1998 made for TV movie called Baywatch.
White Thunder at Glacier Bay.
White Thunder at Glacier Bay. Mm-hmm. And without giving too much away, we're just going to tell you the beautiful ladies of Baywatch got accepted to do a photo shoot.
Right.
In Alaska.
The first part of the photo shoot is in Southern California, which is a tradition that has been established, I'm guessing, because they briefly mention it, that this is like something that they do every year. But the doozy this year is that not only do they get the SoCal photo shoot, they get to do an Alaska photo shoot, which is how we end up at Glacier Bay.
I believe it's supposed to be, like fire and ice.
Maybe. Yes. And it's really, really funny because they're dressed up in mesh. They're dressed up in fake football pads. They're dressed up like with frisbees, and it's supposed to be some sort of Sports Illustrated situation.
I think it's supposed to be parodying. Not parodying either. Just
like a poor man's Sports Illustrated because they can't get the rights.
What's the word for that? It's a ripoff. Sports Illustrated. So we've got our beautiful, bodacious Baywatch babes.
Lonnie, Neely, and Donna.
And Donna, we haven't really seen much because she wasn't in Hawaiian Wedding. She wasn't in Baywatch Hawaii.
Right.
She's a new character.
Do I wish we would have seen more of her?
Yes, absolutely.
100%.
She's drop dead gorge. So they're doing this, like, I guess, annual thing that they do, which is the Babes of Baywatch.
Just the traditional lifeguard photo shoot, duh.
Well, the tradition continues. First Neely, then Donna, now Lonnie, all on the cover of Inside Sports.
Yeah, well, personally, wish the tradition ended with Donna.
Dude, I'd be stoked if my girlfriend was on the cover of a magazine.
Lonnie and I were supposed to go to Cabo on our vacation. Now he's taking them to Alaska. How do you do a swimsuit layout in Alaska?
Are you kidding me? Fire and Ice is going to be the hottest mag yet.
Do I detect a note of jealousy?
This year, like you said, something a little different. Mm-hmm. They're doing Fire and Ice, so we assume that the fire part is LA.
Guessing so.
We don't really know.
Those scorching 110 degree temperatures in SoCal.
And the ice is, they're going to Alaska. Mm-hmm. But they get to go to Alaska on a cruise.
Yeah.
And they do not let us forget this cruise name. Mm-hmm.
It's the Dawn Princess Cruise.
The Dawn Princess Cruise.
We'll hear a lot of that.
The whole movie is about 99% of them being like the Dawn Princess Cruise.
And we're Alaska Airlines.
Love Alaska Airlines.
If
Dawn Princess Cruise? Alaska Airlines? Are we going on Dawn Princess Cruise with Alaska Airlines?
I'm going
Airlines?
On a Dawn Princess Cruise. Did you hear what this ship's called? The Dawn Princess? Yeah, okay. It's
One more
Dawn
time,
Princess.
Dawn.
So that is a real company, obviously, but it's similar to the whole season of Baywatch Hawaii that we covered, where everything is Aloha Hawaii. Airlines and Hawaiian Airlines and Hilton Hawaiian Village.
Hilton Hawaiian Village.
There's one thing Baywatch does well. It's sponsorships and partnerships.
They do.
You know what?
You can see it throughout the whole show. It's amazing.
Coke.
They love Coca-Cola. sun wipes.
CJ's sun wipes.
So the three females are, they get to go on this amazing adventure.
I hate that you just said females.
Well, the three ladies of the group. I don't know.
Ladies?
The three tissies of the group.
Okay. I'm just not going to complain anymore about it.
The tissies of the group. They get to go and they're very excited. But that leaves our three gentlemen.
Cody,
the movie.
Mitch, and Hobie.
Cody, Hobes.
Hobster, as Mitch calls him.
Yeah, they really does call him the Hobster. You think we're kidding. That's what he Mitch doesn't. Calls his son, the Hobster. So those three men, and oh, we just want to say that Cody's played by David Chokichi.
Do you remember David Chokichi? He could choke a me.
That was actually a good one.
That was so
good. David Chokichi can choke a me. I agree. He was hot.
So hot, you guys.
I remember like looking at Baywatch stuff on the internet, like typing with one finger, like Baywatch men, because I was always looking up Jason Momoa. Mm-hmm. And then Chokichi came up.
Oh, yeah.
And I was confused. I was like, I want to know more about him, too.
You know what? I have like lots of emotional interest in these guys.
I want to know about both of these guys.
Where's the origin of the name Chokichi? Tell me more.
Just really diving into that. So Cody, Hobster, and Mitch are kind of like, well, we don't get to go.
They're worried because their women are leaving their site, and they're a little worried that something's going to happen without them there to supervise,
yeah, it's
which
kind
is
of
real
weird.
Gross.
Yeah, it's like they're strangely weirded out that they don't get to go with these women. And just to note...
But also Cody and Lonnie are a couple.
Yes, I was just going to say Cody and Lonnie are a couple.
Hobie at this point is not with either of them. Mm-mm. But Mitch and Neely are living together, and Neely has a baby daughter, Ashley, who is also coming on the cruise.
Yes, because that's my favorite thing to do is go on a cruise with my girlfriend.
Take a newborn
and
baby.
My newborn baby.
Yeah, for sure. And so there's also this kind of like friendship / budding romance between Neely and Mitch that takes shape during this made for TV movie.
So the guys are basically like, what the hell are we going to do? We can't get this. And of course, just like that, we see a competition on TV where you can write a 200-word paragraph.
Essay. No, they say essay.
They say essay, but it has to be 200 words, which is literally like, I think the max amount of words you can write on Twitter.
Well, what happens is, I feel like we should have more context for this because... David Chokichi, Cody and Mitch are like, oh, they're going to be out of our sight. What are we going to do? Bad things are going to happen. If they're alone, they're going to find other men, da 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 da. And he's like, it's too late to buy plane tickets now and cruise tickets now. It's like we're leaving tomorrow or whatever.
That's true.
And so it's probably sold out.
The Dawn Princess is sold out.
Right. Dawn Princess is sold out.
Yes, you're correct.
And so then at this moment is when Hobie goes, do you remember that there's a contest? That there's a contest to win 4 tickets on the Dawn Princess cruise. And then it flashes back to Hobie watching the TV.
Far to the north of where you and I dwell, there lives a beautiful princess. Win a dream vacation for 4 from Princess Cruises and Alaska Airlines. Write an essay in 200 words or less explaining why you and 3 of your friends deserve to cruise Alaska's Inside Passage on the Love Boat. Hurry. Contest ends in 30 days.
And the ad, like Colin says, is write us a 200-page or 200-word essay, so like a Twitter status, but they call it an essay, about why you should win 200 words will win you 4 tickets
on the
luxury cruise ship.
Long story short, Hobie writes an essay, they get in.
Fast forward.
Hobie writes a riveting essay, they win.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good.
I know I'm nuts, but all I can think of is CJ. I remember she was supposed to go away for a week and she never came back.
Late now, ma'am. It's not going to happen with Lonnie.
Thanks a lot. Overnight mail.
From who?
Princess Cruises.
Hey, contest. Said we were going to announce the winners. What's it say?
Congratulations. You're the winner of the Princess Cruises Alaska Airlines sweepstakes. We're going to Alaska!
Yeah, you won! Yeah. Oh, unbelievable. Look at this.
All right. So aside from the riveting 200-word essay.
I really wish they would have given us a visual / narration about what that essay was.
What is Colby going to write?
He was like 18. He's like, I really want to go to Alaska.
Alaska's really cool. I heard it has ice, but also three girls are going and we can't go with them.
And we really, really want to see them. They're going to do a photo shoot.
So I'm just, curious to see what he wrote if someone has that paperwork.
Can we please see the receipts for that? Thanks.
Miko has it.
Miko's like going through her files right here.
Got it. Essay. So aside from that, we are met something that kind of combines the two storylines. Mm-hmm. Separately, we are met with a beautiful blonde who has a really real looking wig on.
Totally natural. Beautiful. They exit the water and it's perfectly dry.
It's like luscious. Those, like, if you guys are going to go as like Marilyn Monroe for Halloween.
It's a costume wig.
It's a like you go to Spirit of Halloween that is in an old broken down mall. Mm-hmm. You buy that wig and that's what they fit her in. It's really pretty and shiny. And it doesn't give us any context, but she's with a man and they are finding all of these emeralds at the bottom of the sea.
They've just found these. Yeah. And we don't know if, like Colin said, if it's a shipwreck, like how they got this information, don't know. The only thing that matters is they have $5 million worth of emeralds. Okay.
Oh my God. Would you look at these things? These got to be worth a fortune.
They are. You can cut thousands of stones from just one of these emeralds.
Raw emeralds.
Yeah, and they pull the emeralds out, and it's like they're beautiful cut, still green. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think they knew how emeralds work, but
I'm trying to think of, like, they're roughly, like, the size of sticks of butter. So just imagine they're, like, long, like, cylindrical. Yes,
that's a good
and
representation.
There's about three of them. So that's what they've found. That's $5 million worth of emeralds. And so they're on this boat in the middle of the ocean, having just fetched these emeralds from the depths of the sea. And the man is a jerk.
He's a jerky jerk, and he's just yelling at this blonde to do all these different things, and she's like, ah. So he goes and he's like, help me put the anchor in. Oh, and does she help him put the anchor in?
She helps him by hitting him over the back of the head, tying him to the anchor, and sending him over the side,
throwing him in the side. And she's like making this call, and she is loving herself. She's so confident.
It's me. I've got the emerald. No, Quinn is on the bottom of the ocean sucking on an anchor. Yeah. Oh, of course I was careful. Look, I know what they would do to me if I got caught, which is why I'm not going to get caught. No. Yeah, if I saw them once. No, they won't remember. Besides, even if they do, they'll be searching for a blonde Leslie Stryker. I'm Claire Hodges now. I'm a redhead.
Don't you worry. He's fish food at the bottom of the sea.
He's
yada,
sucking
yada.
On an anchor.
He's sucking
That's
on an
what
anchor.
She says.
But, you know, of course she doesn't tie the anchor. And of course he pops up.
I mean, this is all within 5 minutes.
Yes, it's like very quick.
She's already at this point. She has a box of hair dye on their teeny tiny motorboat.
Because she was going to kill him and transform her look. Now she's running away.
So her blonde wig is off. She's now a redhead. And her criminal name is Leslie Stryker. Her non-criminal name, her redhead name, is Claire Hodges. And she is so proud of herself. She thinks she has executed this flawlessly.
But she has not.
But he immediately the body just floats up. Within 5 minutes, boop, he's at the top.
And immediately the Baywatch team finds it. Like, within 5 minutes, the Baywatch team is there.
Full She's like, he will
people.
Never come up from the bottom of the ocean. Boop, boop.
He just came right up.
Yeah.
But the best part of it is the Baywatch team comes. There's all these boats around and they're like resuscitating this guy, putting him on. They're like, is he going to make it? And they're like, I wonder who could have done this.
So just for a moment, imagine like a section of the ocean where there's like a Baywatch scarab on one side.
100 feet away.
And then 100 feet away, there's another motorboat.
With the woman on it.
With a woman on it and a body in the dead center. So then the Baywatch team gets the body and they're so confused. Like,
what could have happened to him?
Where could this body have
come
from?
He suffered an injury. Look over. The girl is fucking crouched down on the boat with her binoculars. And they're like, I still can't figure out what would have happened.
She's literally hiding, staring at them, crawling on her hands and knees. And they're like, and I just don't know where on earth this would have possibly
where would this body even come from.
There's no other, I mean, there's just that boat with that woman who's crouching with binoculars. But like, she certainly wouldn't have been hurt.
She's probably traumatized.
She's suspicious.
She's got red hair, not blonde. Something's going on. It's hilarious.
Everyone knows red-haired people don't murder anyone.
Dying laughing because she's literally just right there hunched over. The most suspicious looking person. There's actually blood at the back of her boat. And they're just like.
She's hosing it off.
She's hosing it off. It's so funny.
She must have like gone fishing or something earlier today. Look at all that fish blood.
So needless to say, they don't make that connection and she gets away.
And so her genius plan, because from 100 feet away with her binocs, she cannot figure out if this guy is dead or alive, right?
But she could hear their entire conversation. And they're like, we're going to take him to the hospital.
She's got one of those, like, ear cones. And she's like,
Just very not suspicious.
So her brilliant criminal mastermind plan is to put herself in harm's way so a lifeguard will rescue her.
And also take her.
And she can get to the lifeguard headquarters.
And to the hospital.
Get some info and then get to the hospital. So she's trying to find out, like, as much intel as possible.
If she actually did kill this guy or not.
Right, because she wants to know if he's going to narc. And this is the most efficient way, not at all a time suck. She's so smart.
I know, just go to the hospital. Seriously, at that nobody point. Nobody
knows.
Nobody knows, nobody cares. She just really... So, long story short, she puts herself in a canoe, gets hit by a boat.
A kayak.
She's full of Pocahontas in a canoe. Puts herself in a kayak, kayaking in the shipyard. Mm-hmm. And a boat hits her, and Hobie is right there. And
well,
there
he doesn't... The boat doesn't hit her. She sort of, like... Looks like she's going to be hit by the boat, and then she sort of, like, dumps out of the kayak.
Yeah, she's really smart. So yeah. She's not going to get
hit. She's a criminal mastermind. She's not going to let herself get hit by the boat.
Duh. So Hope saves her. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Her plan worked like a charm.
She's takes her in to the lifeguard headquarters.
So, have you ever been in a kayak before?
The funny thing is, I row every day. I don't know what happened. It's as if my brain just shut down, and all of a sudden, here's this boat coming straight at me. Thank goodness you were there, Hobie. It's the scariest thing that has ever happened to me. I feel my hand. I'm still shaking.
Don't worry. You're safe now.
So Claire Hodgins, now that we'll call her, her plan works perfectly. Hobie takes her to the hospital because she's like, I just feel so bad that I have to go to the hospital and get blood work done.
Yeah, well, they're in the lifeguard headquarters. Mm. And then she's
basically
thinks,
like, bitch, you're fine.
Yeah, they think they're getting off scot-free. But then she realizes, like, oh, the guy is not here. He must be at the hospital. So then she pretends to faint, like that she's much, much sicker.
I thought you were in water skiing.
Well, we were until April found a body floating in the water.
God.
Yeah, we thought he was dead at first, but we gave him CPR and he's still alive.
We don't know if he's going to pull through, though. He was still in a coma when we got him to the shore.
I'm going to call the hospital and see how he's doing. It took him to Pacifica Medical, right?
Right.
All right.
And in that case, Hobie, because he's a professional, is like, oh, we're going to the hospital. But meanwhile, Claire's like, that's why I wanted to go the whole time.
So we meet Claire at the hospital. She got her way. And sure enough.
Yeah.
She sees the guy that she thinks she killed. Mm-hmm. He's in the room right next to her.
Right next door.
Which makes sense. That
with windows.
With windows. And he's in intensive care because bitch is almost dead. And
right.
She just needed to get a little bit of work. So that makes sense that they're She's right next totally to each fine. Other yeah. is basically what I'm trying to say.
And, same level of trauma.
Same level as trauma. And a limo pulls up with...
outside the hospital.
He looks like a bad guy. Classic bad guy look.
I mean, there is an aesthetic for Baywatch bad guys. shiny hair.
Shiny.
Facial hair.
Like a bad goatee. This guy has a Caesar haircut. You remember from Gladiator when that was really big in the 90s and everybody wanted to get a Caesar's
cut. But his is like just a bit too long. So it looks a little Lloyd Christmas from Dumb and Dumber.
It's very Backstreet Boys. He's very Kevin from Backstreet Boys.
Yeah. And he's wearing like dark, shiny clothes, basically.
Yes. And it's just, he doesn't stand out at all. He's very,
looks
very
totally normal.
So he's talking to an older man who's like, you got to go figure out this girl double crossed us. She has our emeralds. You've got to go find out the information from this guy that could be dead. So just think of it like this. The bad guy and Claire, who's also technically a bad guy at this point, they're both trying to get information from this guy that she could have easily killed, but she did a really bad job.
Terrible job. Women can't do anything right.
So she is this close to killing him. Then she gets spotted by the doctor. And
Wait. I think you missed the most valuable part, which is she monologues at this guy's bedside
for half an hour.
You're tougher than I thought, Robbie, baby. But not tough enough. You should have listened to me, you bastard. Greed is good. So while you're rotting in hell, it'll just be me and the emeralds cruising on the Dawn Princess in Alaska. Pretty classy getaway, huh? You know what they say. Where there's a will, there's a way. Bye-bye, baby.
You would think that if you had orchestrated your entire day to get next to him so you could kill him, you would just be like in and out.
Just do it. Stab him.
She goes in there. He's unconscious. Who is she? He can't remember any of the things that she's saying. What purpose does this serve? For half an
hour.
And
she's just slowly circling around his bed. Like
a vulture.
When I was 14, I realized I wanted to be a thief. And like she's just going on. And we're like, girl, come
on. Just get it done. So then at the very last minute of her monologue, she's getting ready to turn the machine off, the life support. And the doctor walks in and catches her.
What happened to him?
Nobody knows. He was found floating in the ocean by the lifeguards.
Is he going to die?
Well, it depends on how long he remains in a coma. But if you heard him moaning, he could be coming too.
And she says, well, is he going to live? And he proceeds to give, he breaks all HIPAA violations and proceeds to give all of the information about this patient without asking who this woman is or asking her context or anything other than a stranger who heard moaning. And then she leaves.
Well, looks like his name is Jerry, and he lives on 522 Walnut Street.
Gave the Social Security number, everything.
He looks like he has a 10% chance of living. So, yeah, he did break all the rules. So she doesn't get to kill him. And right as she's leaving, bad guy walks in.
Mm-hmm.
Caesar's cut. Kevin from Backstreet Boys. He gets in, and then the doctor proceeds to do the exact same thing.
Wish I could be more optimistic about your brother's chances of recovery. The truth is, he's lucky to be alive. Lifeguards found him in the nick of time.
Do you think I could have a moment alone with him, Doc?
Sure, I don't see why not. I have to make my rounds anyway.
Yeah, he's...
Doesn't ask anybody any questions.
Left and right, just like giving out information willy-nilly. So he's like, yeah, you can totally stay in here, be at his bedside, no worries. I'm going to go make my rounds, which he says. I got to go make my rounds.
You can stay in here.
Make yourself at home.
Cover the curtains. Do whatever you need to do.
So immediately...
Stranger. Bad guy stranger.
Bad guy stranger. Pulls the curtains tight. Also begins monologuing to the man who's not conscious.
Way to go, Robbie, you incompetent jackass. I told you she couldn't be trusted, but you knew better. Well, let me tell you something, smart guy. We don't get those emeralds back. You're gonna wish those lifeguards never found you.
Darn fruitless.
What did you say?
Emeralds. Leslie. Darn princess. Alaska.
The last moment of Bad Guy Kevin, Bad Guy Stranger's monologue, he leans down and the unconscious man briefly wakes up and says, Dawn, Princess Cruz.
And the bad guy's like, duh? Dawn, Princess Cruz? Dawn, tell me more about the Dawn, Princess Cruz. Can you get first class tickets for a reasonable rate? Do they have three meals a day?
I was really thinking that's where this was going to go, that all of a sudden he was going to just give him all the information. But it gives him enough information that he knows now where he could find Leslie / Claire.
Man, this ship is awesome looking. Hey, so you think we're really going to be able to surprise the girls? Everybody at headquarters knows we're going.
Lonnie and Donna are off today, so unless Neely found out, we are in the clear. Here's the plan. First, they fly to Vancouver in the morning. We take the afternoon flight, and we are in Alaska.
Hey, so who else is going?
I don't know. Hope's just still fielding offers.
So later that day, Hobie brings Leslie, this girl that he just met. By the way, he saved her earlier today. Just met this woman. Brings her home and announces to Mitch and Cody that she is going to come with them.
She's
going to
be the fourth.
On the Alaskan cruise.
Mm-hmm.
He won tickets for himself and three friends, and she is going
with
to be the fourth.
With a 200-word essay.
Yes, just keep that in mind.
Tickets with 200. It must have been the freaking best thing anybody has ever written in the history of time.
But my favorite part is Mitch. Obviously, he's upset. He's like, who is this girl? Why are you bringing her? But then he's like, how did you meet her? And Hobie's like, oh, I saved her today. Did you fill out the paperwork? Like, yeah. Mitch is just so concerned that he filled out
all the... Did you follow proper protocol? Yes,
all the proper lifeguard protocol.
Oh, that's
and
best.
Hobie's like, I'll do it later. And he's like, just make sure you fill out that paperwork.
I don't care that you're bringing a stranger into our home. Can you just fill out that paperwork?
That's really
Keep your eye on the prize.
Miko needs to know what she's doing.
So yeah, Mitch is at first like, this is not responsible. You are only 18. She's 20. But Mitch also knows that she's lying. There's no possible way she's really 20. She looks older than that. But Hobie's like, I believe her. I trust her. Which, classic 18-year-old boy.
Let's talk about this for a second. It is bonkers. I'm all about spontaneity, nudity, whatever you want to call it. But to meet somebody that day and invite them on an 8-day Alaskan cruise.
Imagine if you freaking hated them.
Yes, that's weird. You don't even know anything about them. You literally saved them from fake death. Mm-hmm. Your face right now is, you are shocked. You are shocked beyond belief. Kate's face, her eyes are wide open and she's staring off, shaking her head, such mom status, so mad. I could never. Wowee. So, obviously, we're both a little perturbed by this.
Well, what I'm thinking is, I'm trying to think of instances in which I've met somebody and within a couple of hours, I've been like, yeah, they're all right, but then truly ended up hating them or, like, could not stand to be around them.
90% of the people we meet in our lives.
I was going to say, like, I can't think of anyone I didn't know I didn't like within, like, the first 5 minutes. But either way, point being,
even if I really liked somebody, 8 days on a cruise, it's a lot to be around somebody. I would still be like, I need my alone time. Leave me the hell alone.
Yes.
And keep in mind, just side note, this bitch has still not taken off her backpack.
Nope. Had it in the hospital the whole time. So
that creates like kind of this drama between Cody, Mitch, mm-hmm. and Hobie. But Hobie's defiant. He's going
to
take her.
He's like, no, I'm 18. What. I wrote 200 words. I get to choose.
I'm going to take this girl.
So the girls, we should also just say right now that the girls who are going, they don't know the men are coming. At this point, they don't know that Hobie's won the tickets. They don't know he's a master wordsmith and that he has won four tickets.
It so secret for some reason we are still not totally aware of.
I guess they want to surprise them. I guess they want it to be like a sweet romantic surprise. We're not entirely sure. It's kind of odd. But the next thing we see is all of the women on an Alaskan Airlines flight.
If there's anything you need, my name is Kat. Would you like champagne?
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, me too.
You know what? I'm going to have some club soda.
Of course.
Thanks.
Hey, there. Yeah. She's sleeping.
She doing good?
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
Oh, yum.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Kat.
Oh, excuse me. How long is the flight to Vancouver?
It's nonstop, so under 3 hours.
Oh. You know, could you tell the pilot to speed it up a little?
Can't wait to get on the Dawn Princess.
I'll see what I can do. You guys, I'm so excited. I've never flown first class before.
Oh, get used to it, because this trip's first class all the way, all the way.
I'd like to make a toast to Inside Sports and Alaska.
All right.
Woo! Woo! Alaska.
Someone shot this footage with a video camera.
Got a video camera and doesn't make any sense.
No, and they're so excited because they get to ride in first class. Mm-hmm. So they're getting champagne.
You guys, the worst 90s outfits. Mm-hmm. I mean, worst slash best.
Neely's wearing head-to-toe pleather. She's flying, you guys.
With a
baby. Flying with a baby. And she chose head-to-toe pleather
and
outfit.
Big, chunky heels. So yeah, they're on the cruise.
And they spend a lot of time doing the classic Baywatch thing of like, we're on Alaskan Airlines. You're on Alaskan Airlines. We're on Alaskan Airlines. This is first class on Alaskan Airlines. Then we transition. That scene's over. It's all it was for. Would you? And you also might be confused because we were confused about this as well. So just to clarify, yes, it's a cruise, but yes, they're also on a plane because what they're doing is there is no cruise. Like it's a really, 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 really long distance to sail ship from Southern California to Alaska because Alaska is massive. So they take a plane. They fly up to Alaska for the beginning of the cruise, and then the cruise starts and goes along the coast of Alaska.
I was like, why are they flying?
We were so
Alaskan
confused.
Alaskan Airlines to get to the Princess Dawn.
Right.
Why is this happening?
So just, that's clarifying.
All the girls are on the boat, the three girls, and now the three guys plus Leslie, a.k.a. what's her name?
Claire Hodges.
Claire Hodges, the one who's the thief. They're all on the boat. So Donna is looking out with Lonnie.
Right.
And they see something and it's bad guy.
It's bad guy coming up in the limo.
Bad guy coming up in a limo and he's getting on the boat.
We don't know how he gets
how
a ticket.
Get that ticket.
I guess when you're a bad guy, you have ways.
Hobie had to write a damn 200
words. This is why crime pays.
And you just waltz
no essays
on this,
required.
Just waltz on this boat. It's all filled That's just so, anyway, bad guy has somehow got a ticket to the boat. We really want to figure
out that. And Donna spots him from way, way, way. She's way at the top on
a
deck.
She's like, ooh, tall, dark, and handsome. And he's in a limo, so it looks like he has money.
She also says, there's 2,000 people on this boat. So that means there's at least 1,000 men. And I'm like, yes, any given place you are, it's always half and half.
No kids, no right babies, down the middle. No elderly, and it's half and half. She's smart. And my favorite thing is Donna's like drop dead gorgeous, you guys. And she's drop just like, dead. I don't know if I'll find a man. I really want to find a man.
I don't think anybody wants to sleep with me.
Nobody wants to sleep with little old big boob, tight little vag me. I don't know. I don't know what I was going through with that. I'm like,
Titus me.
They call me Titus in high school.
Titus Donna.
Titus Donna. I'm just, no one wants to sleep with me. And I'm like,
they say it's too tight.
They called me too tight to Donna. Oh. And I'm like, Donna, come on. Give me a break. And Carmen Electra's like, literally
too
like,
Titus.
To Titus.
T-T-T. T-T-T-T. I
can't. And Carmen Electra, obviously, she's dating Cody. Her character Lonnie's dating Cody. But she just is like acting like she's the, like, That is devastating. She's just like rubbing her shoulder, like,
that's
so
terrible.
I'm so sad for you. This is the saddest thing.
Do you need me to help in any way?
Yeah.
How can I assist you?
Do you need me to touch your tight toes? I'll do it. I'm one of your best friends.
Do we need to loosen that up? Because I am here for you.
So it's just the funniest thing. So we, again, the point of that is that bad guy somehow got on the ship, and so now bad guy, bad girl. And all the Baywatch people are on the boat.
All the Baywatch.
All the Baywatch. And now we have the men. They finally surprise the women at dinner.
Yeah, there's just one thing I want to touch on before that surprise happens. Because they...
They're walking into dinner.
Because there's like... During the day, when everyone's boarding, they've decided they're not going to tell the women, right? So they're waiting till dinner to surprise them. They're at a table on the deck when they see Neely coming. And so they're like, we got to leave, they're gonna see us, guys. They crawl under the table, they hide under the tablecloth, and when the waiter comes to deliver their coronas,
you see a little finger pop out.
Come here, under the tablecloth.
It's Mitch's little baby finger.
Don't leave. They spend that day under the table drinking a beer in order to hide.
That's true.
Could have just gone to the rooms, but whatever.
And at this point, we're like, why are they so intense about hiding? And you still just don't know. I guess it's just for the element of surprise.
I guess. So anyway, yes. Then we catch them walking into dinner. And just the one thing I want to talk about real quick.
You have just all these one little things. You want to, it's too good.
They're just too good. Mitch asks Cody.
Check this out. Well, I wonder what JD and Noomi are doing right about now.
Noomi's probably getting a haircut.
Probably getting a haircut. That's the only thing.
Noomi only lifeguards can think of to do. And gets haircuts. He's lost
Noomi's
without
probably
them.
Like, I finally don't have this drama bullshit in my life. All of these people always trying to fuck each other, always fighting. There's always some kind of drama.
Mitch finally gone.
Time
Father
of
Mitch.
His life. But they're just gonna haircut.
We also know that Cody, sweet Cody, he's just not the, he's a little
He's
special.
Not the brightest
he's
bulb.
He's not the brightest bulb.
Because they ask him what he wants to do in Alaska, and he says,
what are we gonna do first?
Well, I heard there's some really neat Eskimos to go check out.
I hear there's some neat Eskimos we can check out. Come on,
Those
Codes.
Really cool Eskimos we could go. And it's like, to, it just seems like a strange...
Eskimos.
Thing to do. But anyway, yeah, so regardless, they surprise everybody at dinner and the women are ecstatic. Oh my
so
god,
stoked.
The boys are here. Lonnie and Cody are together.
We can't really ever enjoy our life without men.
Yes, Neely and Mitch are together, and of course Hobie's not dating Donna, but she's happy to see them. And Hobie introduces, hi, this is my friend.
And they're all like, where'd you meet? How'd you meet? You've been known each other for a while now?
Yeah, everyone's a little like, they're trying to be supportive, like, all right, cool. And he's like, this is my friend Claire, and you're gonna like her. So after dinner, after the guys for some reason surprise the girls and all is great, everyone kind of splits off and does their own thing. We have Lonnie and Cody who go slow dancing. But Lonnie, being the feisty girl she is really taking over that dance floor.
Just imagine old people just dancing on like a parquet floor. Just
like they're doing like two-step, like slow motion. And she is twirling and spinning, shaking her butt.
She's twerking. It's the whole thing.
Everyone's like, okay, Carmen, we get it. I mean, you're Lana, sexy. You're sexy. We get it. But she's just a dancer.
She does go on to be the entertainment at CJ's Bar and Grill. I know.
She was also a Vegas girl before CJ's Bar and Grill.
This is just her life goal, like dreams.
She can't contain it. She has to shake it. Shakira shake it all the time. She is a dancer. So then Neely and Mitch go away. And this is where we learn something fascinating about Neely.
So Neely has a baby, as we mentioned, named Ashley.
Tiny little guy.
And she has taken Ashley on the cruise with her. And Mitch is helping out because they've been living together as friends.
Which is what they love each. It's very strange.
It's the whole thing. And she's there for the, like, to be part of the photo shoot, but more importantly, she's tracked down Ashley's father.
Yes, you guys. Neely wants to find Ashley's dad, baby daddy. His name is Peter. Apparently, he randomly lives in Alaska.
Wouldn't you know,
he happens to live in Alaska. And she's literally going to see, because she's just like, I don't have anything to do. I'm going to go make sure this baby daddy take care of me.
Yeah.
That's like literally what she says. Like, I need
And she says, I tracked him down.
Yeah.
Tracked him down.
I don't love this man. Don't know anything about him. And Mitch is like, I just need to be taken care of.
Are you, he says something like,
are you fucking kidding me?
Are you worried or something? And she's like, he doesn't even know about Ashley. So like, not only is she going to be like, hey, imagine? Do you love me? Can I mooch off you? She's like, oh, and I have your baby.
And the best part is she's like, I just don't know how he's going to react. I'm wondering if I'm making the right decision. And Mitch is like, you better like surprises.
Yeah, Mitch.
Come on, dude.
Do not be flippant about this.
And I am going to freaking introduce my baby daddy to his baby he doesn't know about and ask him to take care of me forever.
And Mitch, there's the other weird like energy of this, which is Mitch is really hoping that this guy wants to abandon his daughter.
I'm thinking at that point, he's like, please say he wants to abandon
Mitch. He just keeps saying, you'll have somewhere to be. You'll have somewhere to go. You still have me.
He's getting thirsty for Neely at this point, like real thirsty.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And this is where we get a 15-minute beautiful lullaby sung by the Hoff.
So beautiful, lying here. I want to kiss away all your tears. You mean so much to me. You changed my life. Wish we could always be the way we are tonight. But without you, I can't be free. And I need you to believe. These loving eyes see only you. Love you for what you are inside. These loving eyes will always be true. To know
completely a cappella on the deck of the Dawn Princess cruise ship.
Mitch, just like David Hasselhoff as a person, just wants to be
a jack of all trades.
The jack of all trades entertainer of the lifetime. Mm-hmm. A lifetime entertainment award.
Of every lifetime.
Of
our lifetimes.
I love you, David House. We love you, but also know that you love yourself very much, which is good.
Which is good. Self-confidence.
Self-confidence. Love yourself. Mm-hmm. So meanwhile, we have Donna, and she just so happens to spot Bad Guy. And Bad Guy,
again, because she had seen him before and got the hots for him. And then she sees him in the bar.
So she kind of makes eyes. And I think Bad Guy, we don't really know, but he kind of just thinks that maybe that whole group has something to do with it.
Yeah, that's part of his spidey senses, his Bad Guy spidey senses. So he's like, they might somehow be involved in this heist.
I think this beautiful girl might be the girl who double-crossed us and took these emeralds.
Right. Because he's kind of going in here blind.
Yeah, he doesn't know that what Leslie Stryker looks like.
He's just been assigned, which seems like such a... If you're running an evil empire, it seems like such an oversight not to at least show him some kind of picture.
Yeah, like...
Come on. So he's just looking, you know, through 2,000 people on a cruise ship to try to find
someone he doesn't know what they look like.
Anyway.
He's just going off spidey senses.
Do you see how we can't... There's really no way to summarize this entirely because none of it makes sense. So in an effort to find out more information about her, he casually hits her purse off the table. Not even a little bit. Like, oop, accidental. Like, just like...
Swipes it.
It falls on the ground. She watches him pick up every single thing in her purse and put it back in.
She's like, oh, oh, can you grab that too?
And then she sees him pick up her room card and put it in his pocket. And she's just like, oh, thank you so much for knocking my purse off and then picking all my stuff up and stealing my room card.
Desperate to get her tush touched that she just kind of ignores the fact. You know what? Or maybe didn't see it.
Don't worry about it.
I mean, it was pretty vague and obvious. So that whole thing is going on and we are just curious to see what happens there.
Donna's trying to get laid.
And you might start thinking like, are they talking about the same...
You might rewind it and be like, did I
miss something? Are we doing a whole different podcast about a different movie? Nope, it's all the same movie, and it only gets better and better.
Right. So they land at their first port of call, and they're going to go have an excursion on shore, right?
Excursion.
And this is one of my favorite parts. After Mitch has lost his goddamn mind because Hobie's bringing this girl that he doesn't know at all on this 8-day cruise.
With her backpack that she refuses to take off.
Neely is like, I really want to go with you guys.
I found the perfect fishing spot. Salmon Falls. Already rented the gear, we're all set.
Ashley's been a little cranky. I'm going to hang you with Neely.
You guys want to go salmon fishing?
Mitch, you know, you can go ahead. We'll be fine.
Yeah, can't you use that babysitting service again?
You have to book in advance. Look, why don't you two go? I'll stay with Ashley. I'm sure Hobie will understand.
Well, thank you very much for the offer, but I don't think so.
It's okay, really. I practically raised my baby sister.
Come on, man. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Streams are overflowing with salmon.
Actually, I wouldn't mind going. It sounds like fun.
Yeah, Neely.
You sure?
Ashley will be in good hands. It'll be okay. I'll treat her like she was my own. Plus, Hobie will be there to help me. Okay, all right, she just had her bottle, so she should be fine. And there are diapers in the stroller, okay?
And the girl's like, I'll babysit. And she's like, okay.
Just give your... Everyone's completely mad about this stranger. And Neely just gives her damn baby away.
She's like, there's diapers in the stroller. And yeah, she's got everything she needs. Bye. Bye. And it's so weird. Like, Mitch was like so upset that his grown son was going to spend time with this woman, but nobody bats an eye when the stranger wants to babysit.
Also, it's like this stranger, because obviously she's Leslie Stryker. She's a bad person. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And she's obviously posing as Claire Hodges, but it's like, she's a bad... Why does she want to babysit?
Because she hides the emeralds in the stroller.
For no reason. It makes no sense why she would do it.
But that's at that moment.
You're like, oh, that makes sense.
That's her logic. And you can tell she's bad because, like, really bad. Like, you can't save her. There's no salvation. Mm-hmm. She's irredeemable.
She's gone.
She puts the emeralds in the bottom of the stroller, and then she's like,
shut up, you little brat.
She tells a baby to shut up.
That's a telltale sign that someone's not good on the inside.
Someone's bad.
I love stealing things and then hiding them in really other people's random stuff instead of my own or somewhere in my room.
Also, everything that's in a stroller has a purpose.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's a lot of excess packaging.
I cannot
tell you how,
like, it is very expertly packed and there is a system. So if you all of a sudden come across a giant jewel box of 3 Butterstick size emeralds, you're going to be like, who put this in here?
And why?
And why?
Am I the target of
something? She just think that having a baby is so chaotic, no one's going to notice the emeralds? Like, oh, yeah, they're going to be so stressed out about this baby. No one's going to notice these emeralds.
And it's like a moving target. Like, the stroller is constantly moving. Put it under your mattress.
Girl. I don't get it.
No one gets it. And so, you have a lot of room in that backpack. We're still curious what's in there.
Yes, because even Hobie at this point goes to give her a hug, and he hugs her around the backpack.
That's
like,
so
he doesn't,
funny.
Like, go in between her back and the backpack. He gives the backpack a hug. It's like part of her.
It's part of her at this point.
So they go on. This is where it gets, like Colin said, really good, because the excursion is starting, and it's Cody and Mitch and Neely that are going to, quote, go salmon fishing.
Mm-hmm. Mitch and Cody really want to go salmon fishing.
Now,
for some... bizarre reason.
There's a couple of things that are perplexing to me. One is, where the fuck are you going to take your salmon on the cruise ship?
They're going to cook
when
it up.
You're done.
Go tell the cook. Cook this salmon up. They have it in a plastic bag in their room.
It's so
fishy
bad.
For 8 days.
So, and then the other thing is they're like standing on this weird dock in a river. And I'm like, I don't think you guys have fished for salmon a day.
You guys.
In your life. They have
child fishing poles. And it is clearly filmed in Southern California in a lake behind someone's house.
It's about as dry and desert as you can get.
I don't know much about Alaska, but I don't think it's dry and deserty, but I could be wrong. So they are like full dry desert fishing in a pond.
And they're not with anyone, mind you. Like, if you've ever been on a cruise or know anything about them, usually you go on an excursion with a guide.
You just go by yourself.
But they just leave wander around the outback of Alaska completely unsupervised, have no idea what they're doing.
Oh, right, because we do need to say that Neely's just going off on her own.
Because, yes,
she does not give a fuck.
Cody and Mitch are like, we're going to stand here on this dock and fish for salmon.
And Neely's like, I'm going to go by myself.
Taking pictures.
Taking pictures of the Alaskan outback.
No one's wearing anything, like, based on the weather.
Nope, it they're being wearing, like, ice. Shorts and flannels. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. So, Neely's off taking pictures, and... She drops something on the ground and she's going to pick it up. And all of a sudden, behind her, you hear. It's a baby bear claw on a piece of wood. Like, the director is like, literally.
It's a taxidermy bear arm.
It's a taxidermy bear arm. And they're just like.
And they, like, basically tap her on the shoulder. Like, hey, mind if I...
And if I claw your eyes out? They do.
What are you doing right now?
Because she's picking up stuff off the floor and the bear claw's like, like trying to get her attention but not kill her. So it's just like, tap, tap, tap. And she turns around and it's this giant black bear.
You can't just start with a growl. You have to start, like, make sure she's paying attention in order to get a full moment.
He's back there like, growl. She's like not paying attention. He's like, growl. Girl, what the hell?
Just turn around.
Turn around, I'm going to tap you.
So they keep trying to cut back and forth. It's like the teeny tiniest baby black bear, so it's not even a grizzly.
It's not even a grizzly, and it's not even a grown black
bear. It's so small. It's
the smallest, but they're trying to make it look really big, and it's chasing Neely, and she happens to only go... There's only one place you can go if you're being chased by a bear.
Into the river.
But she doesn't go into the river. She stands on an old log right by the river.
And then she decides to, no pun intended, bear hug that log.
Bear hug that log.
So she's, her legs and arms are wrapped around it. It's on the ground. It's laying down. So don't misunderstand me. It's not a tree standing up that she's like doing this vertically. She's lying down, bear hugging it, holding onto it for dear life. And what do you know? The only thing that the bear wants to play with is that, log.
That darn log.
So it just starts.
Just tapping that log.
Just starts rolling that little guy.
And she's. Frantically screaming, and the bear's doing nothing at this point but tapping the log.
Really just playing a game.
Really just playing a game. He doesn't care. He's not going to eat her.
No.
She's three times as big as it. Yeah. Number one. Tapping that log, and she's screaming. And here's the funny thing is, like, there, it's actually like a lake, like a river lake thing. And I'm like, you are an elite lifeguard.
Right.
Just jump in the river, swim to the other side.
Yeah.
You're done.
Just get out of there.
Get out of there. But no,
it's she's travesty averted.
It's like that floor is lava game. She's acting like the water is lava.
Yes.
She's terrified to touch it.
So scared. And Mitch, because he's Mitch, it can do anything, scares the bear off.
Yeah, they find her. Needless to say, they scare the bear off. But somehow, we don't know the physics of it. She's been pinned under this log now.
Yeah, we are not quite sure how we got from A to B.
We just don't ask questions, but we... Somehow she's pinned, and she is like...
Eddie Kramer is trapped, pinned underneath the vault, inside an armored car, sinking to the bottom of the ocean. Ever tell you about that?
About 10 times.
Yeah, I thought I did. Did I ever mention that he got out okay?
Mitch immediately pulls a Mitch and is like, did I ever tell you about the time that I was pinned in ice cold water, and I survived? Did I ever tell you that story?
He literally is like, did I tell you the time that I was pinned in a vault, in an armored vehicle, in a boat that was sinking? And I still got out.
Did I tell you, like, about that time I hid in the hole to teach the Baywatch Hawaii lifeguard team a lesson?
She's like, yeah, I do remember. Everyone fucking hated you for that. Needless to say, or should I say Neely,
Neely to say,
they get her out. She's fine. They put her on the deck. They put, like, you know,
they
blankets.
They cuddle her. They get back. It's not a big deal.
She gets her stroller back, yada, yada.
Doesn't notice the emerald stashed in the bottom.
Now, here is one of the better parts of the whole movie, because... Later that day, we're assuming, Carmen Electra, Lonnie, has her photo shoot that she's there for on the boat. And you guys, I swear to God, one of the most bizarre scenes I've ever seen. So just to paint a picture, she's on the deck of the ship and she is in a tube. A plastic tube. But like a
clear plastic tube.
It's all around her. And a guy is... fogging her.
Think of...
fogging her up real hard.
Think of Augustus Gloop stuck in the tube in Willy Wonka.
Think of that. And there's a guy fog machining her behind, and she's being trying to be so sexy, but you cannot see her, A, because of the fog. Why is she in a glass tube?
Everyone on the boat's watching the photo shoot, so everybody. They're going to see... Like, they're going to be in the pictures in the background. It's a clear tube. It's
like, everyone's just in the background like eating their popcorn, and you just see some foggy kind of late, like kind of a boob, like it's, and she's dancing her heart out.
Oh,
25 minute montage of her just like whipping her hair.
Well, something I learned is that like, this footage, so we rented this movie on YouTube.
That's right. And we paid for this.
And the credits say that this version contains the never before seen scene of her doing the sexy ice dance. And so this is that scene.
We think this is that
scene. Well, it has to be. And the other thing she does that's really magical is someone's underwater. She's shooting in the pool and she's underwater. And there's someone just holding her up. Like, they're completely submerged. She's laying on their hands and they're just like twirling her around in the pool while she rides.
Loving her life. But oh man, we are for sure posting a picture of the tube dance.
Yeah, it's so weird. It doesn't make any
sense. And like Cadence said, like, there's people, it's clear tube. You can see all the other patrons of the boat behind her eating their slushies. And she's giving it her all. I mean, I do appreciate her.
That part was my favorite, where she jumps up and like slams her boobs against the side of the tube.
Boob slam.
It's, I don't know if she thought like, this will be sexy, like my boobs pressed up against the plastic, but it's, I mean, just like half
point,
a second.
At this point, it's a 30-minute montage. What other moves are you going to do?
She's really running out of steam, but not dry ice.
Doing all kinds of stuff. Anyway.
And it's like dripping down. Like, that's the other thing is like, it's all turning into like this weird condensation inside the tube, and it's just like dripping, and then there's like handprints, and just like
it gets
zero gross. Sense, you guys.
Zero fegging sense. So everyone is wildly distracted by Carmen Electra Orlani's beautiful tube dance, but Hobie keeps telling
Jed and I have installed a tube in our room.
Sweaty balls. Sweaty balls.
I really love that tube. It's hot. It's steamy. There's lots of condensation.
Just tube dancing all day. And I'm trapped in a tube. Ooh, I'm a tubie. I need to smash my boobies on the tubie. Just so insanely aggressive about that tube
dance. Love it. Okay.
So everyone's wildly distracted by Lonnie's tube dance, and Hobie's really wanting to go paragliding. Paragliding.
Parasailing or something. I'm actually not sure now.
Parasailing is when you go on the back of the boat.
Oh, you're right.
Paragliding is when you do it. So he wants to really go paragliding. And Claire's like, fine, whatever, I'll go. So meanwhile, Claire's walking to her room.
And meanwhile,
Claire's walking to her room. And bad guy sees her. Just instantly knows it's her.
You know what? All of a sudden, the whole thing unravels. He's like, you know what? I think she dyed her hair red. And I think that this actually might be her. And I think Donna was the wrong girl.
It all comes full circle to him, like in that moment, monologue. You can see it in his mind. So again, keep in mind, never seen Claire before, doesn't know anything about her.
And no words are exchanged.
They look at each other and she starts taking off and he wild chase throughout the whole thing. He's like, give me my emeralds. Mm-hmm. You took my emeralds, bitch. Finally, he catches her.
Yep.
By guess how? Grabs her backpack.
I'll give you a guess. The giant ass backpack.
He lunged for her transport.
There's just no way to make contact.
And he got her.
It's not a surface area.
And this is the best part, because he's like, where did you put the jewels? And without blinking, Claire's like, they're in my room. She doesn't say, like, I don't know what you're talking
about. She literally tried to murder someone, threw herself in front of an oncoming ship, tried to commit homicide twice. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, she's just like, yeah, they're in my room. Come follow me.
That's the first thing she says. She doesn't say, like, what are you talking about? I don't know who you are. I'm not the right person.
Right.
I'm
She's Claire not Hodges. Like, we haven't exchanged any words whatsoever.
I'm not Leslie Stryker. I'm Claire Hodges. Look, I have Red these hair. People. I came on this trip with these randos. Look, right. I have friends. But no, immediately. So he goes to the room with her. He realizes again that Donna's not her. And he mm-hmm. kind of feels like a silly goose because Donna's hot.
Yeah.
He wishes him. But mm-hmm. no, that's neither here nor there. Mitch sees him mm-hmm. wrestling with Claire. Tries to stop him, gets punched in the face. Bad guy punches Mitch in the face. So now we know, you mess with Mitch, you match with the bad guy.
Donna, I saw a guy go in your room this morning. He had the key.
Are you sure it wasn't one of the stewards?
Yeah, he was tall, dark, and had a goatee.
No wonder I can't find my key. You must have taken it when you knocked my purse out of my hands. Why would he do that?
Who is this guy anyway?
His name's Paul Nichols. He's a jewelry importer from Duluth.
And then he kind of gets riled up, and now he's kind of going.
So now he's looking for Hobie because he's like, Claire's getting chased by a bad guy, so obviously she's not who we think she is. We need to find Hobie. But Claire gets to Hobie first.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Hobie. I'm just checking out what there is to do at the next stop.
Oh, and Juno, the glacier's supposed to be unreal. I heard you can go paragliding from the Mendenhall Glacier back down to the ship. It's supposed to be incredible. Have you ever been paragliding, Claire?
What? No. No, never. But I'd love to learn. Let's go.
Killer.
And she's like, come on, we gotta go on this excursion. We're gonna go paragliding.
Let's go.
So they run off the boat. They try to find... Oh, it's a tram. They have to get to a tram mm-hmm. in order to get to the top of the mm-hmm. paragliding site. The bad guy follows them off
chasing
the boat.
Chasing them, you guys. Full chase.
Follows them to the tram.
Follows them to the tram.
Can't get on the tram because he doesn't have a ticket.
And the ticket holder, he's barreling through people, hitting people. Get out of my mm-hmm. way. There's nothing between him and Claire except for... little ticket taker pops out and like stops him, and he's like
makes full contact.
Full contact, and the guy at bad guy's like, "Whoa, oh yeah, don't have a ticket. I got to respect the rules."
You know what? You're right.
You know what? I need that ticket.
There is a reason for Law and Order. Yeah.
In a second, he could have pushed the guy over and mm-hmm. got. Now at this point, everybody knows you're being a monster.
Yeah.
You're not.
You're making that clear. So he runs back to the ticket and he waits in line in the ticket line, and then he just loses patience and he steals the ticket of the person in front of him, runs back.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't get there in time.
The door closes right in time.
But then, what does he do?
And this is where Cadence and I were really boggled. He, keep in mind, he waited patiently for a ticket and didn't get on. But then he decides to just...
Now's the time.
Now's the time. He just punches the ticket taker. And the ticket taker has a huge gun on him.
Right, right.
Like, you're a ticket taker for a tram. Why do you have a huge pistol on you?
In Alaska.
The biggest gun ever.
They're worried about the grizzlies getting on that tram. You
like,
know.
A big oversight. You pull your gun. You do not have a ticket.
I'm sorry. You're not allowed on the tram. Can I say it louder?
So that is funny because A, he could have just done that like we said at the very beginning.
Right.
To get it, but then the story wouldn't be where it is. So no. He knocks out the ticket taker and he gets on that next tram up to follow them. And yeah. Claire and Hobie run to what looks like just a truck.
There's no base, like, central location nope. for this paragliding activity. Nope.
There's nobody else in wanting to go paragliding.
There's just a guy in a 1986 Toyota Tacoma.
And he's like,
with some shit in the back of his truck.
Like, you guys here for parasailing? They're like, yeah. Just hands him a kit. I guess a paragliding kit.
DIY paragliding.
DIY paragliding. There's no, like, again, no ticket, no mm-hmm. line, nobody else. Nothing. It's just literally a guy in the forest with his truck. And I'm thinking...
on a dirt road.
I'm thinking, even to skydive, you need mm-hmm. to go tandem skydiving, like, what, 200 times before mm-hmm. you can go by yourself? Like, you use a lot of training. I got trained for a long time to learn how to pour coffee. Okay? I don't think they just let you go paragliding on your own.
No.
Jump off in the Alaskan tundra and go paragliding.
Uh-huh. He gave them boots and he gave them paragliding parachute. And he's like, see ya.
And they do.
Bye.
They do. They jump off and it's just Hobie and Claire in front of a green screen, but they're supposed to be paragliding. We're talking like huge cliffs.
We don't know.
Of ice cliffs.
Where they could have possibly jumped from.
We don't know where they jumped
from. In order
from.
To reach this altitude and or terrain.
Also, it takes a while to put that stuff on, right? I would imagine, to get it all set up. Bad guy would have been there in 2 seconds. So needless to say, they jump off. Bad guy also...
Somehow
gets a paragliding kit.
There were only two in the back of that guy's truck, so we don't know where it came from, unless he killed the guy.
Probably. He's got that huge gun.
He does have that gun, which is important to remember.
Now we have a paragliding
chase.
And we've got Hobie and Claire, and then bad guy right up behind him in that parasail. And Hobie's talking to... Claire, like, it's no big deal. Like, they can hear.
We gotta go the other way.
No!
Claire, what are you doing? We're headed away from the ship. Claire, no, not that way!
Help me go back to the ship! Just go!
Turn left! You're going the wrong way! Claire, what are you doing? This is crazy! Do you know this guy?
Hobie, leave me alone! Just go away, damn it!
Thank you. shooting at us! Land on the glacier now! I swear this will be target practice!
What did he say?
Land now or you're both dead! That was your last warning!
They're at least a half a mile away from each other, going very quickly in the sky. And he's yelling as if she can hear or give a shit. He's like, Claire, turn left.
Claire, why are you going that way? And Claire knows exactly what this guy's doing.
She knows he's chasing her.
She still won't tell Hobie. Hobie's still completely in the dark about all of this. So he's just like, Claire, why is this guy
chasing us? She's just an adventurous woman.
And she's going the wrong way. And he's like, Claire, you're going the wrong way.
They're over a freaking glacier. Like, it is.
It's so, you guys, it's scary to even, we know it's a green screen, but even then it's scary to look at. And you're like, you have no experience. You are 18 years old. You are a lifeguard. You've never been to Alaska, and they just give you paragliding stuff.
Because I just keep thinking, how are they going to get back? They are traveling, at this point, miles and miles and miles over nothing but ice. So then at this point, the guy decides to use his very limited number of bullets to start shooting them from his paraglider. They're like a mile away in the sky.
And then he goes, it's a paragliding chase.
He's like, you better land or this is going to be target practice. And I'm like, number one, it is, because you're already shooting at them.
You guys, he shot like 70 times. Number and it's like two, a baby gun.
He's like, you need to land now. And they're like, okay. Like, if they would have just waited it out, they could have just steered those paragliders back. He would have run out of bullets all as well.
Yeah. But no, they decided to land.
But Claire's like, you know what, homie? We should listen to him.
So they land on a tundra, like a full ice thing.
Just complete glacier.
Get out, and they just start running across the glacier. And I'm like, where are you going to go?
They chase them for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And the guy's shooting, like Colin said, his gun repeatedly. At this point, he's at 23 shots out of a little handgun.
27.
27 shots out of a little handgun. Unless he got like a bunch of ammo from the ticket taker.
Ticket takers have to have a lot of ammo on them. There's a lot of grizzly action.
And then they finally fall into this little like ice crevice.
Oh, and the set for this is beautiful.
It's really, really good. It's kind of like that claymation Yeti, do you remember?
Oh, yeah. The holiday one, yeah.
Yes, so it looks like that. And the bad guy's like... And
well, Hobie still has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, Hobie just keeps going, tell me what's going on, tell me what's going on. Well,
the best part is he's like...
Who are you?
What does it matter?
What the hell is this?
He's like, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, yes, it very much matters at this point.
It's very important.
This is not like you went on a date and you found out someone's not a vegetarian.
I completely forgot that, yes. She's like so bugged that he even said it. It doesn't matter.
And I'm like, yeah, it does. We are in a hole in a tundra and a bad guy is shooting us over
emeralds. We are trapped in an ice crack.
And he keeps calling you Leslie and you told us your name was Claire. Like, it does matter at this point, girl. I'm about to die.
Everything about this matters. I'm going to come to my death over emerald sticks on a glacier. Ugh. It does matter.
So it does matter.
So if you could just take a couple seconds to just get me up to speed, that would be great. Thanks.
So sure enough, they throw the emeralds, and the bad guy's tricking him, obviously.
Right.
He's not going to get him out.
Right.
But he ends up falling in himself. Mm-hmm. Now the three of them are stuck down there.
And he takes this opportunity to show Hobie. He takes out the emeralds and he's like, you want to see what $5 million looks like?
They're all stuck in a hole together. There's no getting out. They all die. And he just keeps going like, look at these emeralds. $5 million here. And Hobie's like, yeah, well, we're stuck in a hole in a tundra.
Nothing we're going to die. Matters.
You want to see him again? And he's like, okay, put the gun down, guy. We need to, like, get our priorities straight right now. $5 million of emeralds doesn't matter when we're in a hole in a tundra by ourselves.
We have no food. We're going to freeze to death slowly.
But he keeps just
showing
them those emeralds.
Cool emeralds.
Cool emeralds, bud.
But at this moment, on another scene, we also have no idea the context of how they got into this helicopter.
Nothing.
But Cody and Mitch are in a helicopter looking for Hobie and Claire.
Well, it's Mitch. Of course he knows. You just know.
Yeah,
somehow he got we don't know, it doesn't say, but he saves the day. Him and Cody jump out of the helicopter, go to the hole, and they're like, and Mitch, love him to death. I know he's just looking after Hobes, his son, but just immediately jumps in that hole. And I'm like, Mitch.
Did not strategize maybe, one bit.
Yeah, you maybe talk to Cody. What if something happened?
We got five people in a hole. Doesn't help anybody.
I'm like, if something, what if something happens to Cody on the top of the hole? You guys are stuck in that hole for the rest of your life. Yes, you die. Well.
And we're counting on Cody, who really wanted to see neat Eskimos. I know, so he's got the sharpest tool.
But he jumps in that hole. Obviously, he's fighting this guy. Mm-hmm. Hobie doesn't do anything. He's still, like, protecting this girl.
Yeah, he's still trying to, like, throw his body in between Claire and the bad guy.
And I just want to, again, emphasize she still has her backpack on. We still don't know
Let's
why.
Let's just make that perfectly
clear. Because I'm still trying
clear.
To figure out. I'm like, okay, something. She's going to have a lot more emeralds in the backpack. Like, I'm
keep waiting for the mystery of the backpack.
Because she's guarding it, and he's guarding her. He can't help Mitch fight. They fight. Basically, long story
The bad
short.
Guy tries to drown Mitch. He completely submerges him in an ice puddle.
Ice puddle on a tundra, you guys. Mm-hmm. Mitch punches the bad guy.
Superhuman.
Knocks him out. They all get out of the hole. So then a ton
Cody does come through with like some kind of rope or something. Like he is a somewhat heroic at the end of the day. He aids in their rescue. But at that point, he's got two helicopters present. One, the one he came in on, and another one is like the police copter.
Police and all these copters come and land on the tundra. Mitch is still soaked in ice water.
No
they don't give
him
a blanket. They don't do anything.
Like, maybe he just doesn't feel temperature anymore. He's just
so used to the water.
He's such an evolved human.
You ever seen what $5 million looks like, kid? Feast your eyes. As far as I'm concerned, you can take those emeralds and shove them.
Hey.
You mind your manners there, Junior. It's not my fault you suckered you into this. I do understand the attraction, though.
It's not every day you come across a cold-blooded killer with such warmth and charm.
Too bad you had to be so greedy. You killed someone? We should try it. You came pretty damn close, too. But Robbie came out of the coma.
And so they, like, throw over the bad guy and they throw over Claire, who is now Leslie Stryker. And they're like, take him away.
And
we're
at
like,
this last
finally.
Second, Hobie's like, is anything you said real? And she doesn't even look at him. She's like, get me off this glacier before I freeze to death. And I'm like,
Hobie, you're still trying.
Why?
She put you in an ice tundra.
Under what circumstance has she given you any inkling that there was any part of her that was genuine?
She never said one nice thing to him.
Nothing.
She was mean. She told the baby to shut up. You think she meant anything she said to you?
She's like, yeah, I really meant it when I told that baby to shut the fuck up. That's what I meant.
That's the only thing
I meant that.
And so we're like, finally, we get to see what's in the backpack. Nope. They just take her away.
And you never.
That's the end of bad guy. That's the end of bad guy and Claire.
The backpack mystery is never solved. You have no idea why she's lugging it around and they get arrested. The end. But here's the kicker. He gets back to the boat. I guess he hasn't died of hypothermia, whatever. He gets back to Neely.
Well, they all
like,
get back to the boat.
Yeah. Everybody does. And he's like, what happened with Peter? And she's like, oh, Peter's married and he has another baby. So he wants nothing to do with us. And Mitch is so excited.
But well, she's like also kind of crying because she's like, I was banking on this guy to take care of me.
She's sad, but Mitch is not sad. So she's experiencing some distress. He's experiencing euphoria because he's like, yes.
Yes. I get baby mama.
She's going to have to stay with me forever.
I get baby mama, but I also get baby.
So at this moment, she basically says like,
Peter's married.
Yeah. I met his wife and, their baby boy.
You've got to be kidding me.
No. So obviously, we'll not be getting back together. I mean, he'll visit Ashley when he can, but for the most part, we're on our own.
Are you all right with all this?
To be honest with you, it's a huge relief. I mean, I knew in my heart it would never work. How can you marry someone when you're in love with someone else? Question is, I don't know if he's in love with me.
Who's he?
You?
Her wheels start turning and she says, the reality is I knew that it could never work with Peter because I am in love with someone else.
And I wish that other person would just marry me.
And guess what, guys? Who's that other person?
It's Mitch Buchanan.
So they don't waste any literal time. Second.
They get married on the boat within
they call
like
the captain.
Next hour.
They're like, can you just pull over for a second, pause the ship?
And I don't know how the Dawn Princess works, but that is a lot of planning that goes into that. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not trying to be rude, but you know, you have one woman that's not working. She has a baby.
Right.
You're a lifeguard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how big your salary is, but that mm-hmm. would seem like it would cost an exorbitant amount of money to stop mm-hmm. the ship.
She's got
a wedding.
Beaded wedding dress, like gorgeous wedding dress.
He also somehow has a ring mm-hmm. that shows up. There's like bridesmaids kind of in a mm-hmm. weird way, but you don't know who they are. And the whole ship is beautifully decked out.
They're having flowers. It in the lobby.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Like where people need to get from one room to the other. They're just blocking the lobby. They're like, just wait a second.
Yeah, we're having so
a
you're wedding. Also blocking things and people need to
the get stairwell. Their places. They're the blocking the old stairwell.
People need to get to the buffet quick.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just having this wedding at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm. The captain has been called from his captain chair.
Yep.
He stopped. Because he's the only person who can legally officiate the wedding.
He's the boat on autopilot, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, anything for Mitch Buchanan. I'll do it.
Well, Mitch has, we have learned this. He has connections in every country around the world. So most likely he's got some sort of relationship with
I mean, he captain. Runs the postal service and yeah. he runs everything else.
Exactly.
So yeah, they have this beautiful wedding. And literally, you guys, there's no explanation for where this stuff came from,
mm-mm.
how they got it, how he got the ring, how she got the dress. None, no, zero explanation.
I think it's because, as we've discussed before, oh, Baywatch writers give us a lot of credit.
It was probably in her backpack.
They found
Claire's backpack and it was
it's
all
like a Mary Poppins bag. Yes. They're like, a dress is in here, flowers are in here, decor is
maybe
in
they
here.
Maybe they got the emeralds and sold a few on the side and had a
maybe
wedding.
So
it's bizarre, you guys. Anyway, Neely and Mitch get married mm-hmm. on the boat, which is really fascinating because when we do Baywatch Hawaiian Wedding, we're fast forwarding and Neely and Mitch are angry at each other. Mm-hmm. They're so mad. So.
You know they're divorced and they are real at each other's throats.
So Cadence and I are trying to figure out like what happened, if mm-hmm. there's like some kind of thing that we're missing in between.
Well, when we were trying to figure out, connect the dots, it just says that she uses this opportunity to trick him into marrying her so that she has someone to take care of her and her baby.
Yeah, but she's so sweet about it. And
but
nice, and
they
she's like
seem
a nice
like
person.
They genuinely like each other yeah. and that they're friends. Like, so it doesn't
she was a lifeguard. Like, it doesn't quite
And he was out. Taking care of her and her baby when they weren't romantically involved. Like, she was living with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it
really
seems
going
like he could have just perpetuated that situation. Like, yeah. unconventional family situation.
Like, why do you have to get married? Yeah. On a
it's,
boat.
And we see the last few, I don't know, like, minutes of the movie are just giving some more promo to the princess vacations
non-stop
because you
princess
see a
vacation.
Train ride, you see all the food they can eat on the train, how fast the train goes, you get to go to the princess lodge.
Ooh.
And here's my favorite part.
Sex
it's
time.
It's about things are getting erotic. The movie's about to be over. Mitch is in the princess lodge laying on a couch reading a book, and all of a sudden a puppet comes out from behind the couch.
A little moose puppet.
A moose puppet. And it's in Mitch's face. And Mitch is like, where'd this moose come from?
He's genuinely like child. So, like, where? What?
Is this magic?
Real? Is this a real moose?
And then Neely pops up. She's like,
it's me.
It's me. And
I'm tricking. I'm a jokester.
Stop thinking about puppets as foreplay. It is cracking me up because they immediately start making out. It's turned Mitch on so much. And I need to get on this train of the puppet foreplay.
And she also took her baby with her, which is great. Mm-hmm. She's a mom. But like, if you're going to leave it with a stranger, you can for sure as hell leave it with Hobie for a couple more days.
Right. And then the part is like they take the baby into the room and then they're like, give us some privacy. And they hang the do not disturb sign on the door at the lodge. And I'm like, so your baby's
I know. Just leave, like, literally, it was
putting
like,
it in the closet or something?
Yeah, what are you doing? Just leave your baby with Hobie.
Bust those puppets out.
You have four really capable, except for Cody.
Ashley with a stranger.
You left Ashley with a complete stranger, but you can't trust Hobie or
Donna.
Lonnie
or Lonnie, Donna. Yeah.
Well, Cody, I said, like, Cody
might. He's like, have you guys seen these neat Eskimos?
He forgot he's babysitting a baby. Poor guy.
I gotta go get a haircut.
So, this movie was incredible. Like we said, we just figured it out, and we had to watch it, and it is bonkers from start to finish. You guys, if you want a good time, watch it.
If anything, watch Carmen Electra.
In
a
tube dance. Rented just for that.
And
or the paragliding.
The paragliding chase. Because it's...
paragliding chase. It's...
so suspenseful.
And the whole time, you're just... again, they're so... I just don't think they've... I think they just... plot holes don't exist.
No.
Just, it is what's in front of you. Take that.
We've already discussed this. That you just... you show, don't tell.
Show, don't tell.
And they definitely don't tell.
And they show, did tell.
They show, did tell us. All right. We hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
We were lucky. Like, it was finding a hidden treasure watching this movie.
It was such a gem, and we had such a good time watching it, and we had an even better time telling about it.
I can't sleep. Don't want to fight. I can't say goodnight tonight. Sometimes you just do things you don't mean to. Sometimes you hurt the one who means the most to you. But without you, I can't be free. And I need you to believe. These loving eyes see only you. Love you for what you are inside. These loving eyes will always be true. To know this part of mine, just look into these loving eyes. I love only you, you know I do.
Bye.
Bye.